If you're a born-again believer, if you have the Spirit of God, if you are born-again believer, you do have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. So we have to activate that by growing and maturing in God. So the one thing that I want you to understand about all of this process is, just like you have a natural growth process, you have a spiritual growth process. So I don't want you to get aggravated or agitated with the process, because sometimes if it's not happening when we want it to happen, we stop and we quit. So quickly, the natural lifestyle, the natural growth cycle is the seed, which is the conception, then the infant, then the toddler, then the adolescent, the adulthood, and then, of course, into, I don't like to call it old age, I call it mature age, to where we have learned, you know, and hopefully in this stage we are learning, but not that we are learning, we are also giving back and leaving a legacy to that next generation. This one scripture, Philippians 4 and 6, if you don't get any scripture that I give you today, please remember Philippians 4 and 6. This scripture right here will give you the peace that you need through the process of growing and maturing and blooming in God. And again, blooming is about you having a realization of God working in your life through every single situation, through every single circumstance. That does not mean we get what we want all the time, but we are conscious. And when we become conscious that God is in us and he is working through us, then we will revert to his truth and what he says, and we will not be overwhelmed in that situation. Does that make sense? When we go through, if we are conscious, I'm saying this again, of God being there, then when we get frustrated and we get aggravated, the Spirit of God will the Spirit of God will prompt us that I'm with you. And so then our flesh will begin to calm down so that we can hear what God is saying. And so we step over here and we don't act out of what we feel, but then we apply or we put on the word of God so that that becomes our strength, and we're living and we're abiding and we're whatever in him. Does that make sense? Because his plan is what? Jeremiah 29 and 11, that is his plan for us. I need y'all to memorize that one scripture. Jeremiah 29 and 11. Because if you don't understand that God has a plan for you, if you don't understand that his plan for you is a good plan, then you'll give up. What'd you say? I'm sorry? Yes. Did y'all hear what he said? He said what he said in the first class. Yes. That means that every fiber of who you are, God is in it. Every fiber of who we are, he is in it. And we're going to talk about the obstacles, because some of y'all say, well, you don't know how I am. You don't know what. Listen, we were all a mess. We all had stuff. But because of the grace and the power of God that comes in, and I'm going to show you when we get over here, we deal with our obstacles. We got to stop condemning ourselves and beating ourselves up and just get under the word of God and let the word do the work in us. Remember when we talked about how if we keep on talking about it, it's time. We have to let the word do the work. We can't do the work. If you could do the work of cleaning you up, if you could do the work of fixing you, if you could do the work of making you better, then you would have no need for Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. We need God. In every situation, in every circumstance, no matter what it is, we need God. We need him. In doing so, listen, Philippians 4 and 6. Do not fret. This is probably amplified or NASB, because that's what I use. Philippians 4 and 6 said, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. The reason why I'm saying that is because when we get anxious and when we get upset, we cannot think, we cannot hear clearly. because we are engulfed in that anxiety. Have you ever went through something that in your mind it seemed like, we know our mind is, our heads are this big, but it seems like the situation was this big. We could not see an end to it. We could not see no way how this thing was going to work out. All we knew that we were consumed by what we were going through. So when we remember Philippians 4:6, where it said, do not fret, don't be anxious. So that means in the process of wherever I am in my walk with God, I will not be anxious, and I will give God the time to do what he needs to do in my life and be okay with that. Because the actuality is we can't speed it up. We can't change it. We can't make it to be what we want it to be. It is what it is. And so when we see that it is what it is, then we can bring God in to the situation or accept him in and allow him to do the work in us. One of our problems is that we have gone to church so much, we have done so much churchy things until we think we got it down pat and that we don't need God. You would be surprised at every Sunday morning. I thought about this yesterday. This morning, the highway, coming up the highway, because we live about 25 minutes down the highway, coming up the highway, there was hardly any cars. But then in the morning when I'm coming to work, it's like they're fighting for the next space to get up the highway. And I thought to myself, now everybody has hunkered in this morning. We will get up, we will go to our different churches. And if we're not careful, that's all we'll do is we'll go to our different churches. And we'll listen to the messages, but we'll walk out and nothing has changed. Nothing has built in us. We have not even, we get so good at it till we just come in and like, oh, I know what he's going to say and I know what they're going to do. Instead of having that excitement about the presence of God and hearing what the word of God is going to come through, whoever that is that's teaching or preaching. Do you see what I'm saying? Sometimes we get so conscious and we get so coming with God until we have to understand, listen, he is God. He rules. He reigns. Do you see what I'm saying? So we have to become mindful of that so that these circumstances and stuff we go through here don't get us down and don't cause us to stop. So then, in the blooming, we find our plan. We find God's desire. We find his purpose. We find his wisdom. Pastor Terry used a scripture the other Sunday, and it was Proverbs 15:30. I'll leave that alone because I'll get to that in just a minute. So then, after this, what we really need is his anointing. Look at Luke 4:18. Everything that we do, y'all, we do through his spirit and through his anointing. It said, the spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recover of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Now, a lot of people take this scripture and they say, well, God has called me to go out and preach the gospel. This is the way I look at this scripture. The spirit of the Lord has come upon Faye, and he has anointed me that I will, whatever gospel he's put in me, first that is preached to me. First, I need to proclaim the release of the captives in my life. I need to recover my sight so that when I read the word of God, when I hear the word of God, that I can hear and I can comprehend and therefore I can keep it inside of me. I need to make sure I'm not oppressed, that I'm free, that I'm proclaiming that this day, this year, right now, is the year of the Lord in my life. Then when I possess that, that is easy for me to give it away to you. Or either to, and more so than to give it away, but to introduce that to you, so to speak. Because sometimes we get so caught up in what we're going through till we forget about who God is. So the next thing, see what heaven is seeing. Remember Pastor Terry talked about that? In his message the other Sunday, Ephesians 1:17-19, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. What was one of the things I told you needed a minute ago? Was his wisdom. Why do you need his wisdom? That's easy. To make good choices. You need the know-how. The wisdom is I'm going to teach you how to do this so that when we do it, then it is done God's way. That's what I'm saying, godly wisdom. Yes, please write that down. Yes. Yes. Did y'all hear what he said? Could y'all hear what he said? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of the calling and what the riches of the glory of its inheritance to the saints. You get that through the study of the word, through prayer, through fellowship with the believers. Remember the scripture that Pastor Terry talked about the other day when he said Proverbs 15 and 30. He said, Proverbs 15 and 30 when he said, bright eyes gladden the heart and a good report makes the bones fat. The word fat there stuck out to me, which means the anointing. And that's what I just read to you in Luke.
What was that in Proverbs?
It was Proverbs 15 and 30. Remember when he was telling us of the four or five things that we need to begin to do? One of those was see what heaven is seeing, Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. And then that other scripture is Proverbs 15 and 30. Then number two, we have to hear what heaven is saying. Romans 10 and 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by. So if we are not spending that time with God, reading his word, getting his word in us, then what kind of faith do you have? See, the one thing that we got to do as believers, y'all, is we have to back this boat up and we have to make sure that we are sailing in the right waters. Because some stuff that we believe, and we'll get to that when I get over there to the obstacles. Because one of the obstacles to our faith is that we're believing a lie instead of the truth. Now, some of this might not sound too good to you, but I promise you it'll help you. Oh, wow. Did you hear what he said?
You need to repeat it.
Faith
is a by
yes. Yes. And this is the one thing that I have learned over the years is that this is why you cannot replace your fellowship and the word of God, which is your truth, with what people's opinion and what they think and what they say. Because when I have truth and I stand on truth and truth guides me, then I am aligning myself with the word of God. When I listen to what somebody else is saying over here, if it's not truth and it's what they feel and they think, in my time of need, what they say won't help me. But I can stand on God's truth, and if I do what he says, he will come in and do what I need to be done and to help me. Do you see what I'm saying? Because that's where my help comes from. And so we have to be careful. Remember the other Sunday when we talked about be careful that we don't keep rehearsing and rehearsing and rehearsing our story? But if we would get the word of God, if we would get the faith that he says, see, we have to understand that we follow God. We don't tell him what to do, but we follow his guidance. And his word is his guidance. Proverbs 15 and 31 said, he who listens to life gives reproof will dwell among the wise. Psalms 89 and 15, blessed is the people who know the joyful sound, O Lord, they walk in the light of your countenance. I'm sorry? Psalms 89. Don't we want to walk in the light of his counsel? What does the light of his counsel mean to you? Light. Light. But I can see. Yes, I can see where he's, I can see and I can understand light, illumination. What'd you say, Miss Vicky? Yes, but who lightens the way? Not us. He lightens that way, and so the light that he shows us, that's what we walk in. That is what we say, God, help us to obey your word. God, help us to submit whatever I have to you so that so that I can do this, so that I can walk this out. And some people say, well, we don't want to get caught up in the works of doing. Listen, the scripture said this. He said, the world will know us by what? So we cannot say that I'm just going to church or I'm just following God, but there's no change. Come on, there has to be some evidence. There has to be some evidence. The world is waiting for the manifestations of who are we? Number three, we have to speak what heaven is speaking. You say what the word says. If someone comes and asks you a question, then your answer to that question is not what you think or you feel. Now, you can give them that. You can say, well, I think. You can give them that. But when they're at home by themselves or wherever they are, and that moment hits them, then what they need is the truth of God's word to stand on. They need the truth of God's word to guide them through that situation, to bring that illumination and that light. Now, I have to ask this question, and I know you might think, well, Miss Faye, that's a crazy question. But I wonder if we really, I say it this way. Ask your own selves a question. Do you really believe that the word of God is your truth for your life? Because sometimes we read it as if it's just another book. Oh, that's just another scripture. So we have to be careful, y'all. I want us to come back to the consciousness of knowing that God is with us and he's working in us. And when we do that, I'm telling you, when you face a lot of things, you don't have to worry about whether you're going to make the right decision. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God will come up in you, and it will prompt you, and all you have to do is just, okay, I got you. Okay. Yes. Yes.
That's the greatest captivity there is. What we're trying to do is focus on the spirit then.
Yes.
Instead of the flesh then.
Exactly.
Spiritual men, you'll be set free from the flesh then.
Yes.
Yes.
See, I'm trying to train myself that every situation that I come upon, every situation that I come upon, I said I'm trying to train myself to first see the positive. Stop focusing on everything that's negative. I was in the shower, and I don't know why God speaks to me when I'm cooking and I'm cleaning. I don't know. It's okay. But anyway, he said, Faye, you have to watch your perception. Because your perception may not be God's perception. So you have to watch that in life and as you make decisions. I went to work Friday morning, and they house us up here at the old elementary school right below the hospital. I had always told them, I said, when I go to the building, if nobody's there, I'm not going in the building, I'm going to go back home. And y'all going to pay me for my day, because it's not my job to keep me safe. It's your job to keep me safe. So I went to work. Nobody was there. Not even a ghost. Nobody was there. So I called and I said, is something wrong? Nobody's here but me. So I sit in the car. I guess it's like 8:15. And something rose up in me and said, I'm your helper. I'm your protector. I cut that car off. I reached over there and got my little pocketbook in my bag. And into that building I went. And my supervisor called and she said, Faye, I'm so proud of you. I said, is God with me? You know, because I didn't want to be in the building. That was a promise I made to myself. But when I realized, I'm with you. Come on. I'm with you. And I went in there and I said, thank you, Jesus, that I am beginning to do and believe. And because I believe, that's how I could have got in the out of the car and walked into the building. Because I'm not fighting nobody on the way. They can have the pocketbook, the books, the book bag. They can have it all. Because Faye going to be running. Do you hear me? And I mean that with the most sincerest. They can have it. But another thing that God has brought to my conscience is you cannot let, even with the storms and the stuff that is happening, we cannot allow fear to grip us to where we cannot move. And that is what was happening. Fear. Fear was what was messing with my mind sitting out there in that parking lot. Fear. What if I get out and get on the elevator and somebody's behind the elevator and then they pop around and get on the elevator with me? You see what I'm saying? I'm serious. That's how your mind do. Oh, God, what if I get off the elevator and I'm walking down there to the door and then I get to the door and somebody pop out the elevator? You know, oh, God, what if I open the door and when I open the door, somebody else pop in here with me before it locks back? Exactly. Oh, God, I'm going down the hall and what if somebody pop out of one of these rooms? You know what I'm saying? These mannequins over there, I'm thinking, God, what if one of them come alive? You know, because I'm serious. Listen, my mind was playing a game till I had to tell it to shut up. Yeah. Yes.
And I have to, just like you said, I have to grab a hold of my mind and say, wait a minute, this is my expectation and I'm projecting it as that's what it is. When I shut that off and say, Lord, what are you saying about this?
Yes.
Then.
Yes, then and only then. Remember, there was a point then. Then is the turning point. Then. Yes. Mm-hmm. And there's a huge difference. But if we don't understand that, and all I'm trying to do with this class is just to stir your mind up. So you already possess the goods if you're a born-again believer. All we're trying to do is stir your mind up and give you some little things that will help you to cross over, so to speak, or to gain victory. Because life is going to happen every day, all day. Every day, all day, life is going to happen. Do you need this?
No.
Okay. Yes.
Over your fear, your doubts, whatever it is that the natural body is trying to bring against you.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that there was one point I can remember thinking,
Yeah.
And stand up.
Absolutely.
And that is where I feel like in all that you're saying to us that we must believe, have faith in that which we know.
Yes, that's all you can have faith in. Yes.
Which is the gospel of Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
When your thoughts on him.
Yes.
We in our own self.
Exactly.
I mean, if somebody runs in here with a gun, guess what? Everybody in here is going to have fear because it is part of the natural makeup of our God. But God.
Yeah. Yes.
To bring forth the faith and the strength to walk through, even in the midst of the adversity.
Yes. And life brings adversity. Sometimes I think, and we talked about this the other week, is that some of us, coming out of the Holiness Church, coming out of the faith movement, they really taught us that, they said, if you come to Jesus, everything be all right. Well, they lied. They did. They was telling us the best of their ability and what they thought to be true, but that's not true. You know, because what you actually told me was that if I come to Jesus, that whatever I'm going through will go away and it will disappear. And that's not true. You have to work through that. We're living life and God is walking with us every step of the way. If we're believers, and I keep saying if we're believers, because if you're not a believer, I want you to understand you don't possess the power to do this. You can't do it in your own flesh, and you will be frustrated. You will be aggravated. You will be crazy because you're trying to work it out and you can't do it because our dependency is on Him and only Him. Do what heaven is doing. John 6:38. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. How many times are we born again and we still doing our will? Oh, this is my way. This is what I'm doing and this is what I'm going to do. I got 14 minutes. Barriers to blooming. You have a choice as a believer. Your choice is to grow and to mature in God. If you are a person that has been saved for at least 5 years, you should be further along than a babe that just got born again. If you're growing at a healthy growth level, that does not mean one of us is better than the other. That just means that in this room, there are people that are of different ages, and we expect different expectations from them. I do not expect for that little boy sitting there to have the knowledge and that Mr. O.A. Fish has. Now, he can do it. God can do it. God can do anything he wants to do because of God. Do you see what I'm saying? The baby will have the knowledge, but it won't have the experience. The experience of a situation is what grounds you. Because you have the experience and you have the know-how of God walking you through that. Now, Elder Doug just came out of a bad sickness, or anybody in here that's been through a bad sickness, you can come alongside of a bed that somebody else that is sick, another believer, and you can look down and you can tell them it's going to be all right. Why is it that Elder Doug can say you're going to be all right? Because he done came through it. He all right now. but he was once sick. Do you see what I'm saying? This is how we take our life and we give it away. And not only are we giving our life away, but we're giving others hope. We're giving their encouragement that I made it, and if I made it and God helped me, he's going to help you. No matter what that situation is, sometimes people say, well, you don't know what my situation is. I don't have to know. All I have to know is the God that we serve. That's what we have to know. We get too caught up in the details sometimes when we just seem to believe that God is God. What's your name? When PJ got up last Sunday and she told her testimony about them taking the x-ray and them telling her the blockage and whatever was there, and then they go take the x-ray and they come back and whatever they thought was there is gone. That's the kind of God I'm talking about. What do you think the doctors thought? I guarantee you one thing, it had an impact on him. I bet you when he went home that night, he was thinking. I bet you he wasn't sipping that coffee and ha ha. I bet you he was thinking, God, what happened? And God does, he does those things for people to see that he is God. Let's talk about the barriers to blooming. They're called distractions. People's opinions. Well, I think you ought to do this. I think you ought to do that. Who should you be asking? Who should you be asking? I can't hear y'all. And then, if you can't get a clear answer, then what's the next step that you do? Yeah, but what do you do after that if you feel like you're not hearing clearly? I didn't hear you. That's right there. Then you come to the body of Christ and you seek out somebody and you get wise counsel. Then what you do with that counsel, you go back and pray again. Because listen, before you can step out and do it, it has to be real to you. You're the one that's doing it. You're the one got to believe it. You're uncertain of your assignment. You don't know what it is God wants you to do yet. And that's okay. Long as we're moving forward to find it out. These are just distractions. Not understanding, not knowing, not having a trainer, not having a mentor. We don't really teach this in the body of Christ, but I really believe that the body of Christ needs to be trained, and I really believe that you need mentors. You need people that have gone and treaded the water before you tread it to come alongside you and to help you and to train you, and you need to listen. Humble yourself and listen. I want to say this, and I don't want anybody to get offended, but I'm going to say it. Because I always promise God, and I know that he uses me a little bit different, and I'm okay with that. Had a struggle with it for a while, but I'm okay with that. I just kind of shoot for the aim. I shoot from the shoulder. I don't do much hugging and kissing and pampering, and that's good and that's wonderful. But pretty much when a situation arises, it's like, boom, this is what we need to do. I think of the McCoys that, you know, used to carry that shotgun. That double barrel, boom. I don't know if I should say that or not. I don't know. You cannot come up with your own way of doing things when you follow God. You follow him wholly and you listen. And the one thing that we need to learn how to do is respect the authority of God that is housed in a human vessel. You cannot say what you want to say to Pastor Terry, to Pastor John, to Pastor Charlie, to the elders. You cannot do it. Now, you can feel like you're big enough to do it, but you cannot do it. And if we do that, we really need to be rebuked to say that behavior is not acceptable and it will not be allowed. When we begin to respect authority, when we begin to respect even the authority that's in our home with our husbands and with our wives, when we respect that authority, when we humble ourselves under that authority, then we will begin to see God do a work in our hearts and in our minds. But we cannot think we can do anything because we are saved. Just like you operate, when you go to your job, you operate by some rules and some regulations. And I know people don't like the word rules. That's okay. Just come in here and act like you got good sense and we won't even have to say the word rule to you. But listen, I'm serious. These things have to be brought back into alignment. If somebody feels like, okay, God is calling me to do whatever, then you need to go to the leadership of the church. And you need to sit down and have a conversation. And then you need to let them lead you step by step to the place that you need to go. Don't get upset and don't get mad because they're not saying what you want to say and run off to another congregation or another whoever. I don't know who that's for, but it'll cook. I'm going to leave that alone, okay? We're going to move on. Not sure of your purpose. Building on a lie. Whatever you're doing, you're building it on a lie. It is not truth. Make sure whatever you're building is the truth of the matter. It is not a lie. If I came and said to you, anybody in here, okay, if anybody in here have, if somebody in here had a need of $500,000, I'm going to talk real money. And I said, I'll give you that $500,000. Now, you don't know me, you just met me. And I said, I'll give you that $500,000 if you'll come follow me. What would you do? Because, see, you got a dream, and I got the money. So you put them two together, and you can get what you need. But what would you do? Miss Vicky, would you follow me? Somebody that was listening, would you follow me? That's okay, Miss Vicky. It happens to us all. It happens to us. That's okay. It happens to us all. Elder Doug, would you follow me? You would follow me? Thank you. Yes. In other words, I'm with you too. Did you hear what he said? He said, I got to give some thought to that. How many times do we just jump, y'all, because somebody is singing the right song or saying the right thing? That's what I'm saying. It's kind of be still. Not being focused. You're born again. You're in the house of God. You're with the people of God, but you're not really focused. You're like Miss Vicky was. You're here with us, but your mind is somewhere else. I'm messing with you, Miss Vicky. Not being focused. So we got to become focused. And then this right here, I have about 4 minutes. And I'll do the rest of them next week because it goes into just a little bit more detail. But this is what I want y'all to think on till next Sunday. 1 Corinthians 13 and 11. This right here is really what keeps us, in a nutshell, in a lot of things, this is what keeps us from moving on with God or from growing. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So a lot of things, y'all, is just childish behavior in adult people that we have to get over and we have to get beyond. I'm going to talk about me for one hot minute. You know, my personality pretty much is cut and dry. I don't like craziness. I don't like a lot of foolishness. That's me. I did not say that was the way you had to be, okay? Especially when it came to church things. So sometimes when stuff would happen, if I wasn't in agreement, I don't say nothing until you keep on. But the point of the matter is this. Sometimes we're wrong. The way we approach it, the way we do it is wrong. So I would just kind of shut down and not do anything. What it was all about was God had to check Faye's attitude. Oh, now God wouldn't really check y'all, would he? Yes, he will. And I had to learn that whether I liked it or not, I still had to love the person, and I still had to stay where God put me until he said move. And so then that's called humbling. So you take yourself and you humble yourself under the word of God, and you stay there until God does a work in me. Wasn't about the people, wasn't about the place, wasn't about the stuff. He had to do a work in me. Last thing, I want y'all to really look at that this week. Really look at that, because I'm going to go through my other obstacles that are more self-explanatory, but this quickly. As a believer, and you can't see my arrows because they're not working, but we go from a believer to a renewed mind, from a renewed mind to the scripture, which we memorized, studied under, that puts an understanding, that puts in our hearts, our mind being renewed. If your mind does not get renewed, you will never accomplish whatever it is that you need to accomplish. Then from that, we go to who we are, excuse me, in Christ. Because the word of God in you, as you read it, then you will conform and be conformed to whatever it is. Then after that, we really don't have to worry about the obstacles and all the stuff in us, because all of that will take care of, the word will take care of the stuff in our soul as we grow and as we mature. Does that make sense? As we grow and as we mature, see, we do a lot of worrying about how we are and what we think is in us. But if we will, as believers, renew our mind and study the word of God, then that will take care of that underlying current. Does that make sense? You know how in an ocean, when stuff is put in an ocean or in a pool or in a water or anything, how it floats to the bottom? If it's heavy enough, it'll float to the bottom. Well, that stuff that floats to the bottom is covered by that clear water that's on the top. So it really doesn't matter anymore. And then that stuff that comes to the top, that draws, you can rake that off. Put it in a little hickey and throw it in trash. So let us stay focused on building our walk with God, staying with him, praying, doing whatever God, basically led by the Spirit of God, and let's stop putting so much focus in the state or the experiences that we're in. Does that make sense? Father, I thank you this morning for this Sunday school class. I thank you for every person that is in here, Father. And Lord, I ask you, God, that you will allow this word to go into us, God, and to begin to work. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget to read 1 Corinthians 13.